Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? In the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
We are the
the day. Me, Low, and Ike would have broken down like this. Listen.
Hallelujah. Oh, how wondrous is the name of the Lord. Yes, good evening and welcome to the Light of Portland broadcast. I am your host for tonight, Pastor Kimberly Black. Bring you greetings from the Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses. We truly honor the presence of the Lord that has greeted us on tonight and has come to dwell with us as we worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalms 117 says, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards you, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. And that's what we come to do tonight. We come to praise the Lord. We come to magnify him and lift him up. Because he alone is worthy. He is worthy of all the honor and all the glory. And we give thanks to our Lord and Savior for giving us this opportunity to come into your home, to ride with you in the car, to sit with you on your workplace, or be with you at your hospital bedside. Wherever you are tonight, we count it an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to be able to worship the Lord our God with you. We are in store for a treat tonight. We are excited about what the Lord is going to do in our midst, and we're grateful. And as we are preparing to get ready to receive a word, we also want to honor those that make this platform possible for us. We thank God for the Butterfields. Who share this broadcast line with us. We are so grateful to them and the work that God has placed in their hands. To Pastor Sherelle Pennington, our sister and our friend, to Elder Dante Farmer, Elder Kathy Miniweather, and our speaker on tonight, Elder Katie Copeland. It is truly an honor to be able to share this platform with these men and women of God who preach and teach the gospel uncompromising. They forever give us a rhema word from the Lord, and I thank God for each of them. We also want to honor Archbishop Ruth Smith. We're truly grateful to God for the woman of God, for all that she pours into the body of Christ all around the world, not just in Georgia, but internationally. Archbishop is forever speaking life, speaking the word of God, the truth over the people of God. And we're just truly grateful tonight. I hope you've had a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. Here in Portland, we made it up. The temperature made it up to the low 80s. Today we were 81. The sun was shining. It was beautiful. And so we're just truly thanking God for the sunshine. He blessed us with some rain. And we're just grateful and we're just praising him. I just want to remind us as we are, some of our churches are preparing to go back, to return to worship. I want to remind us that we still need to wear a mask when we are socially distancing, and we still need to remain 6 feet. Let's just be careful. Let's be mindful. Encourage people to get vaccinated. I know that Highland Haven has a vaccination site that's open every weekend. The city of Portland has a vaccination site that's open at the old Kmart on 122nd and Sandy. The convention center, they are doing vaccines for children 12 to 15. And so we just want to encourage you to get the information, do your part in helping curb this pandemic and bring this virus to an end. Amen. We are continuing to pray for those that are dealing with mental health issues. We know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And a lot of times we, as the body of Christ and people of color, we are not quick to identify mental health illnesses. We figure that we're strong, we can handle it, we can take care of it, we can figure it out, we can pray it out, we can shout it out, we can cry it out. All that works, but there's something that helps, and that's sitting down talking to someone that God has blessed with the gift to listen so that you can talk to them. You know, everybody don't know how to listen. Amen. Go right there. But God has equipped some people within the body of Christ that their job is to listen. And so every now and then we need to go and sit down and talk to somebody that's trained, a professional that listens with a professional ear that will help us talk through some of the stuff that we're dealing with. And so mental health is real. If you need help, if you are depressed more than you are happy and you can't seem to find your way up, I encourage you to seek out some help, some counseling. I encourage you to continue to pray and read your word, continue to fast and seek the Lord. But let's be mindful that this sickness is for real. The struggle is real, saints. And so we want to continue to pray for those that are dealing with mental health issues. We also want to continue to pray for those that are grieving across this nation. People are losing loved ones. People are losing loved ones to violence, to the coronavirus, to cancer, to car accidents, people dying of natural causes, whatever has caused their life to end it. They left family members behind to grieve and to mourn. And so we want to pray that God would cover them, God would strengthen them, God would heal them, God will help them through this journey. He did not bring nobody this far to leave them. And so we just want to continue to keep each other lifted up in prayer. Tonight, I'm excited. We have our own deaconess, Cassandra Robinson, who's going to lead us to the throne of grace. And following that prayer, we are going to hear a song, and we're going to be ready to receive the word from Elder Kenny Copeland all the way from Mapleton, Georgia. Amen. So we are excited, and we're ready to hear what the Lord has to deposit within this woman of God. Please be prayerful, be mindful, and pray along with Deaconess Robinson and pray along with Elder Keddie. I am a firm believer that if there is praying in the pew, there will be preaching in the pulpit. Deaconess Robinson, I yield the call to you.
Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. as we pray, may our words and our thoughts be a pleasing aroma to your nostrils, Father God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I come humbly as I know how to come, Father God. First, to give you all the glory, for it all belongs to you. Lord God, I come bow down at your throne of grace to reverence you for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are the lily of the valley. You are the bright in the morning star. You are Alpha and Omega. You are Emmanuel. You're the King of Kings. You're the Prince of Peace, a wonderful counselor. You're Elohim. Oh, Father God, we just thank you, Father God. We thank you and we bless your righteous and your holy name, Father God. Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Father God, just to worship and to praise your righteous and holy name. Father God, your name is above every name, and we give you the glory, honor, and the praises. It all belongs to you, Father God. We pray that your name is blessed now and forever. Your name is powerful. Your name rules over the nation. Your glory is higher than the heavens. Your name is beautiful. We cannot comprehend the number of blessings you pour out on us from day to day. Oh, we pray that you would fill our hearts, Father God, our hearts, our minds, our souls, Father. Transform us, Father God, and make us more like you. Though we fail you, Father, but you have never turned your backs on us. You have always been faithful, Father God. We praise you, Father God, for your goodness and your mercy and your amazing grace. Father, everything that you have, Father God, it's ours, Father Ashton. We thank you, Father God, that you have never left us. Father God, your word said that you would never leave us nor forsake us, Father God. Oh, Father God, in you, Father God, we can find everything we need, Father God. For broken hearts, Father God, bring restoration. For those that are weakened, Father God, strengthen them, Lord God. For those that are weeping, Father, we pray that you will bring joy. For those that are burdened, give rest, Lord God. Our hiding place, you are our rock. You are our redeemer. Guide our thoughts and our words. Let our hearts be filled with your praises. Let us never forget the good things that you do for us daily. You have been so good to us, Father God. Oh, God, forgive us, Father God, for all our sins and our shortcomings. You rescued us from death. You have crowned us with love and tender mercies. Father, renew our strength and refresh our souls. Father God, we pray this prayer in the matchless name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 You get the glory, hallelujah. You get the praise, hallelujah. You get the glory, hallelujah. You get the praise, hallelujah. Forever you get the glory, hallelujah. You get it.
You get the praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You get the praise.
You get the praise.
When the healing comes.
Hallelujah.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
When the freedom comes.
Hallelujah.
You get the praise.
You get the praise.
When the justice comes.
Hallelujah.
You get the glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You get the praise.
Nobody
else for you. Nobody else for you. Nobody else for you. get the glory. You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
You get the glory.
Out of my life.
You get the glory.
Out of my life.
You get the glory.
Out of my life.
You get the glory.
In every situation. Every miracle, every sign, every wonder,
you get the glory.
Nobody else but you.
You get the glory.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You get the praise.
Amen. Amen. Good evening, everyone. My name is Elder Teddy Copeland. I will be bringing you the word on tonight. I'm so grateful and honored to be on the broadcast on this evening. Thank you to Pastor Pennington and to Pastor Black and to each and every person in their respective places. I come to you by way of Total Truth Restoration Ministries up under the teaching of Bishop Washington and Elder Jacqueline Washington and Pastor Pamela Laws and Elder Robert Laws. I say greetings to every last one of you, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be up here on tonight. I want to thank my children, family, and friends, and colleagues, and every single one of you who can hear my voice, even if I've never seen you before. I'm so grateful, I'm honored, and I'm glad to know that God would take a vessel like me to bring forth the word. You know, sometimes you have to think back and look how far God has brought you from. Not that you are, not so that you will stay in a place of condemnation, but to see how he will get the glory, out of how he gets all the glory for how far he has brought us. Sometimes we need to remember that it's because of him that we are even here right now. And as I was listening and I was getting prepared, I heard said that there are so many who have lost loved ones during a short amount of time. A year is a very short amount of time. And we have to remember that God is always with us. We're never alone, no matter what it is that we're going through. So on tonight, I was very, very pleased and honored to just know that God honors our faith. He looks at our faith. He is not moved by our attitudes. He's not moved by our temper tantrums. He's not moved by anything else but his word. And our faith in him and his word and us speaking to him what he says about every situation is most important. Tonight, we're going to look at a very familiar text from Elisha and the Shunammite, the Shunammite woman, the Shunammite woman. We have to make it a habit, a lifestyle, a way of life of saying exactly what God says and using our faith to say it, even when it does not appear as what we're saying. What we say out of our mouth cannot line up with what we see with our physical eyes. That's the season that we're in. We're in that season where what it looks like in the natural, impossible, is where God says, oh, this is my time to shine. This is my time for me to show people who I really am. Because for a time span, a lot of us, we just heard about God. We hadn't experienced him, or we were still holding on to the prayers of grandma and grandpa and those who came before us. You know, we could hang on and cling on to mama and her words, and we could hold on to auntie and uncle who was praying on our behalf. But within the last year, every single last one of us have had a personal encounter with God, or that's my prayer, that everybody has had a personal encounter with God. And so we have a gift
that we overlook time and time and time again. And God has to bring us back to the basics to remind us what it is that you're looking for, you already have, if you would just do it and say it the way I say. What is the gift? The gift of our mouth. Our mouth and what we say, the power of life and death is in our tongue. And this Shunammite woman displayed to us, it is well. We have to say what we want to see, not what we see right now. We have to, by faith, know it is well. Several times she said in this verse, in this chapter, I'm looking at 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to pick it up at verse, we could pick up at verse 15, where, and you can go back and read the beginning, and it says where 2 Kings chapter 4 is starting at verse 8, but I'm going to pick it up at verse 15. So he said, call her. So let's get the background with the Shunammite woman. And thank you for the prayers that have already gone forth, because the protocol is already set. Shunammite woman, here she is. This is not just a woman. This is a very well-to-do, prominent woman. And when in the chapter, when you read it and you, when you read and see what type of woman she was well-to-do, very wealthy, very well-known in her community, very prominent person. She was not just a woman, a random woman, a random somebody. She was in the top echelon of people, if we would put it in today's terms. Her and her husband didn't lack for anything. And so they recognized that the prophet was always coming in town, tell you how well off to do. They were so well off to do that. They say, hey, honey, we let's sit down. And I'm paraphrasing, honey, we need to do an add-on to our house. We got to do a little renovation. And not on their own behalf, but because they saw the prophet coming in and out of town, they felt it was their duty and their obligation to build him a room with the table and a lamp so that when he's coming through town, he could just stay by us. He didn't ask them. They came to him and told him. They told Elisha, hey, look, we're going to do an add-on to our home. So whenever you're coming by, you're welcome to stay here. He didn't ask them. He didn't send his servant to go ask them for somewhere to stay. They felt it necessary because they saw the work that he was doing. And they did a renovation on their homes. How many people are even willing to transform a room to accommodate us? His room. Are people today willing to accommodate, readjust their home to accommodate you when you come by? Or are they like, well, you know, we don't have that much room here. You might need to get one of them hotels up the street. Her and her husband made accommodations for her. And she, in her conversation with her husband, said, look, I know he a holy man, so we got to do this. And so whenever he would come in town, he had somewhere to stay. They put the lampstand, the table, the chair in his room, in his upper room that they built for him. And so while he was in the upper room, he called to his servant, Gehazi, and he says, go ahead and call the Shunammite woman for me. And he did. The servant did just that, and she came, and she stood right there. And he said, so, what you want us to do for you? Do you want me to speak to the king on your behalf? I mean, because you done built me this upper room. I feel obligated that I need to do something for you. What is it that you want me to do for you? And she was like, I'm good. I don't need nothing. I'm all right. And she really was. She was a wealthy woman, her and her husband. And so he was like, you know, I'm paraphrasing it because you can read it. Maybe I could, the commander of the army, the king, somebody, do you need us to talk to somebody on your behalf? Is there something that you need? And she said, you know, no. And he called her again. And so watch what happens with the servant in verse 14. So he said, what then is it to be done for her? And look at what the servant Gehazi says. Actually, she has no son and her husband is old. So the servant recognized a need that she had, even though she was saying she didn't need nothing. Because in those times when you didn't have children, that was a burden as a woman. Children was considered a blessing that God has bestowed blessings on you, and your womb is blessed. So when he saw that, he said, yep, we have to do something about that. So watch what the prophet says. He says, call her. When he had called her, she stood at the doorway. And look at what the prophet tells her. About this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But verse 17, the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day at verse 18 that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to a servant, carry him to his mother. When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband. Wait a minute. Wait, hold on. We got to. You mean to tell me she didn't call the ambulance? She didn't call 911? She didn't say, we need to get him to the emergency room to ER. He's dead. Head cut. And the first thing she does is take him into the very place that was spoken about him and laid him in the bed of the prophet. Now, if we understand, before she started building, she already perceived this is a man of God. What better place to be than what good? She said, I don't need Kennerstone Hospital. I don't need Northside. Don't send my child to Grady. I need him in the miracle worker's arms. So she puts her son in the place where she, by faith, knew that God was going to do a work for her. Her actions showed her faith. And then her next step was she left him and asked for a servant and a donkey. Because we're going back to the person, because I told him, don't play with your servant. Don't play with your maidservant. I didn't come asking you for a child. I built you this upper room knowing that you were a man of God. You the one brought me the child. So it is now your obligation and your duty to see about the child that you gave me. That ought to be our speech and our attitude with God. These things, God, that's going on, these are not my problems, not my issue. Here it is, God. I'm going to lay it at your feet. I'm going to bring it back to you because these situations, circumstances don't belong to me. So she took the issue back to the person who can solve it. That's why they tell us to cast all our cares upon him, because he cares for us. He's the one that knows exactly what has to happen in order to fix the circumstance. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And because he is the beginning and the end, she said, well, I'm going to go ahead and bring him back to the beginning and the end of all things. He knows the results that he's looking for. Let me bring him back to the maker. But look at what she says to her husband in verse 22. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Now her faith has been taken up another notch. Not only did her actions show that she had faith, her words that she is speaking out of her mouth is aligning with the actions that she's already taking. It is well. It is well. It is well. When she spoke, it is well. She put that in the atmosphere. There was a twofold blessing with that. It is well. Because you have to, we have to look at the meaning of that phrase, it is well. In Hebrew, that phrase, it is well, is a synonym for shalom, peace. Peace. Shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M, means peace or absence of conflict or war. The root of that word shalom is shalam, S-H-A-L-A-M, Exodus chapter 21 and 22. This is when Moses was instituting the rules of what should be done when somebody takes somebody's property and some kind of way either loses it or damages it. That word shalom is what Moses put in place. And that shalom means you have to make it good. It means shall surely pay. It also means make full restitution. It means to restore, to make something whole. And in ancient Greek, it means it's an overall sense of fullness. It also means completeness in the mind, the body, and a state. So when she said it is well, she wasn't only talking about her deceased son, she was talking about herself too. It is well. Her husband is inquiring like, well, where you going, honey? This ain't the day that he normally do, where he going to do work. She said, it is well, meaning I'm whole, I'm complete, I'm restored. I'm at a place in my mind, in my body, in my spirit, where I know that I'm okay with what's going on, what has happened. So therefore, I'm going to go on this journey anyhow, because she was complete. She was complete. That phrase is what we ought to say no matter what it looks like in the natural. It is well. It is well with me. I'm okay with the traveling with the servant on the donkey to go see the man of God. I am fine. Because most people would be mourning and sobbing and crying. So she continues. So that it is well, is it already in the atmosphere? She set the atmosphere from her behavior and her actions by laying him down in that upper room. Woo! Something about an upper room. Remember what happens in the upper room? That was her ER room, that upper room. It's in the upper room. What would happen if we spent time in our upper rooms in our own home? Do you even have an upper room? Do we know what takes place in the upper room? Because the same upper room that was operating in the book of Acts and the same upper room that was operating in this Shunammite's house is the same upper room that me and you have access to. But we can only have the access if we spend time with God. It was because she was a woman of God. She had a relationship with God. Her faith allowed her to know. And mind you, she was a Shunammite woman. But she still believed on God. When she says, it is well, verse 24, then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward and do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. Put your foot on the gas and do not press the brakes. If I don't ask you to press brakes, don't you press the brakes. And so look what happened in verse 25. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Now watch this. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me he saw her? Well, what you mean, God, by he saw her? Not only did he see her in the physical, he already saw her in the supernatural. He saw her actions. Let me tell you something about a man and woman of God. Do you know God would give them sight to see us in our own homes? When that man or woman of God, when God places somebody on our hearts, he will allow us to see them right where they are. So when he said, I saw her from afar, I saw her the moment she laid the boy down in the upper room, because he's a man of God. But these days, they've really watered down. They've done a great job of watering down the power of the prophet and the prophetess. That true man or woman of God, you can be off away in college, and God will send a word of knowledge right to them in their home and call that college student and say, hey, I see you over here, over there on the side of that library. Go back to your room. That ain't where you belong. The seers, they're seers. So when he said, I saw her from afar, he saw her in the spirit first. He saw her the moment she took the man of God, took the baby and put the baby in the man of God's upper room. He saw her when she said and she spoke. He saw the word spoke into the atmosphere. It is well. So that proceedeth word. Every word that comes out of our mouth is a proceedeth word. We can speak it. We can speak what God says in his word and see it come to pass. So as she did the actions and spoke it into existence, what she had spoken, she was now going to catch up with it. That's why she told the servant, don't stop until I tell you. If I don't tell you to stop, don't stop. Ooh. She spoke it and moved like it's already happened. It is well. So let me go chase after what I just said. The Lord says, I'm going to be a business owner. It is well. Let me go get the tax ID number. God says he's going to allow me to go back to school. It is well. Let me fill out the financial aid forms. We move with the words that has already gone before us. We don't wait. We move into action as if it already happens. This is the same woman that is listed in the faith walkers in Hebrews chapter 11. She's mentioned. She's one of them. She's the one that they're referring to. There was a woman who received back their dead by resurrection in Hebrews 11:35. That's her. So those faith walkers that were mentioned, she's one of them. And guess what? You're one of them too. If you speak and move into action, the things you speak, but you must first believe. You got to believe first. You got to believe. If you don't believe first, it's not going to happen. So as they go, he sees her from afar off, and we know that's in the supernatural as well as the physical. And he says to her, please run now to meet her. He tells the servant and say to her, watch what he's about to say in verse 26. You watch what is about to happen in verse 26. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Wait a minute. How did he know what to tell him what to say? How did he know? The prophet is a seer. Well, she already spoke in the supernatural. God allowed him to hear it and see it, and now is confirming, giving her confirmation of what she already believed. The man and woman of God, most of the time, when they're speaking into our lives, they're just confirming what God has already told us. It shouldn't be the first time we're hearing it. It should be, oh, I've heard that before. Oh, yep, that lines up with what I wrote down in my journal. Yep, I believe I heard that one. Yep, I was thinking about that. It's funny you mentioned that. It should confirm what was already spoken. She spoke it into existence. He comes back and confirm it, and she says it again. It is well. We got to say what the prophets say. She says what God says, and now she's saying what the prophet said. I'm aligned with what the man of God says. If he says it is well, God says it is well, then it is well. It is whole. It is complete. It is finished. What are we saying out of our mouths? I don't speak doom. I don't speak, you know, it's real. It sounds funny and cliche-ish. And, I'm just going to throw the whole 2021 away. You throw yours away, boo-boo. I got a lot lined up for mine. My vision board looking real good because things are still coming to pass in 2021, despite the fact of what's going on in the natural. I'm not going to hold on to that. That doesn't align with what the words that God has given me for my vision board. It doesn't say those things. It says hope. It says good moments. It says resetting the body. It says beautiful things. It says escaping from everything. It says blessed on the board. If it don't line up with what's on the board, I'm not saying it. It is well. It is well. Say what the man or the woman of God, say what God says about it. Look in the word of God and say what he says about a situation. Because God even tells us in his word, nothing is new under the sun. Nothing that is taking place. COVID is new to us, but is diseases and viruses new to God? No. Didn't they have a leprosy back in the day? Huh? What he told Naaman to do, go dip. Go dip in the water. That sound like a virus to me. So what is God telling you to do about a situation right now? What are the instructions he's given you that somebody else, a man or woman of God, has come to speak? And as his mouthpiece right now, I am that person to tell you it is well. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report says. It is well. You got to believe that in your heart, and you have to speak it and move and act just like it is well. There have times and times, so many times within this last year, God has shown me it is well. He's shown me it is well. Personally experiencing him and seeing him show me that it is well. Prayers that I have prayed and see those prayers answered, it is well. Personally. He was answering prayers, you know, prior to all of this. But this go round, these prayers, these were some upper room prayers. Because we're going to look and see what prayers, what was the man of God saying in that upper room? What was taking place? What miracles were transpiring? Because look, the boy came back to life. He was resurrected. Spend time in your upper room and you'll see that it is well. The key to the it is well is spending time with God in his word. What does he have to say about the situation? So as she repeats, it is well, he came asking it is well, and then it finished the sentence, it is well. Now, when he came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. She started off whole. He was able to see her from afar in the spirit. It is well. Now the thing is distressing. So she said, did I ask you, a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? What was distressing her was that I had already told you, don't play with your maidservant. If you told me about a son, I didn't come asking for a son. Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready. Take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him. But lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. Wait a minute. We didn't start this off with a staff, honey. You didn't touch me with a staff on my belly to get this son here. You was here in my upper room, so I'm going to need you to be back in the position. Get in position of get back in the posture that you were in when you helped me to bring this child here. I need you back in that same posture. Otherwise, I ain't leaving. I ain't leaving. She was determined. I'm not going nowhere till you come back to the house. Because a staff ain't going to do. Sometimes you got to tell God, no. I know you sent somebody to come pray for me, but this situation, I need you to come with me. Back in the same posture when the prayer was answered. She reminded me of Jacob. That's why Jacob was fighting with God. Wrestling with God. I ain't letting you go till you bless me. Then this is her. I'm not leaving until you go back to the upper room. How are we in our prayer lives in the upper room? Do we, all right, God, I guess you ain't do it today. Oh, well. No, we got to have perseverance. Perseverance to get the prayer answered. Some prayers instantly, some prayers, it's going to take some fasting, it's going to take perseverance, and it's going to take us going back to the Father. Hey, I need you to come back with me. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore, he went back to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. When Elisha came into the house, there was a child lying dead on his bed. He went in there, shut the door behind the two of them. Back to the posture. Back to the original posture. And prayed for the Lord. Prayed to the Lord. And he went up and laid on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Back to the posture. What's your posture? Posture of prayer. Go back to prayer. Go back to praying to God the way you used to. Things seem very chaotic the last year. But he needs us back on post, praying to him like we used to. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes, called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, worshiping, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Speak what God says. Say what God says. Move as we speak. Move in the direction of what the words were saying. Maybe the reason why we haven't gotten to where we need to go is because the things that we're speaking is we're moving in the direction of what we said. I ain't there. Don't take all that. I ain't doing that today. And guess what we do? Absolutely nothing. What we say, our actions line up. To say and move what God says. Let me tell you something. I had something said to me so profound though the situation that has taken place is fact, just because it's a fact doesn't mean it's the truth. Okay? The fact of the matter is people have passed away due to COVID. Truth of the situation, you still have a purpose to fulfill. The fact, people are jobless. What does the truth say? God owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. His name is Jehovah Jireh. He shall provide. The fact. Maybe you may be one that's on unemployment. What does the truth say about that? My God shall supply every need according to his purpose. He gonna supply every need. Speak what the word says. Speak what God says. And move and act accordingly. Even the prophet knew it as well. He spoke back to her what she said. Speak back. Go back to the posture, the original place, the place where God had you, where you were in relationship. Because sometimes God builds our faith because he wants us to know that he wants us, number one, he wants us to trust him. Then he wants to build a stronger relationship with us. And then he wants us to turn our entire life over to him. Every area of our life needs to be relinquished and given to him. And sometimes he does have to touch us in those places. Our faith is touched in those vulnerable places. Her child, that was a vulnerable place. Her, maybe your job. Maybe your dreams and desires seem like it's dwindling, it's taking too long. He has to touch us in those vulnerable places to build our faith. Maybe it might be a physical weakness. But whatever it is, speak and say what God says. It is well, and know that it is well. Look at your situation when you wake up. Look in your phone, in your mirror in your phone, right, when you take your selfie, and say it is well. You are whole. You are complete. You are a place of tranquility. You have inner peace. You have what you say you must have. You are complete. The full restitution has already been paid on the cross. So ain't no sense of trying to repay something that's already paid for. It is well. It is well. It is well. Pastor Black, I turn it over to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. What an awesome, powerful word on tonight. I hope and pray that you heard something that spoke directly to your situation, directly to where you are tonight, and you can take that word and make sure your posture, make sure your prayer life, make sure your time of prayer, praise, and worship, and the study of the word of God is right and tight. Most of all, make sure you make room for the men and women of God that bring to you life, hope, peace, and abundance of life. Amen. Thank you, Elder Ketty, so much for that word. I hope and pray that all of our listeners today have been blessed by the word. I hope and pray that something has been said that is going to strengthen your love relationship with the Lord and cause you to chase after him like never before. I love you all, and there's nothing you can do about it. We praise God for all of our veterans, all of our military men and women who died during service to our country. We honor their life. We salute them tonight, and we praise God for each of you. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister. And until next Sunday, have a glorious, glorious week in the Lord.
Will you receive Minister Natasha Cobbs tonight?